admissions for many years. And 3 years ago, I took over from her on the Christian Reformed World Missions Board for British Columbia. But Ko is a teacher and principal. And actually, when I was a little girl, I already knew that she had become a teacher at age 18, and that just seemed amazing to me. And so I've always kind of looked up to her that way. But after her teaching career, she and her husband Bill actually eight times or nine times they spent time in Cameroon and then in Nigeria, going back for 3 to 6 to 8 months stints. And just amazing that they have been doing this, and they 3 years ago they had to let that go. But she still is the mobilizer for Christian Reform World Missions in British Columbia and Alberta, and all the way now to
Emo, Ontario.
Emo, Ontario. Anyone here from Emo, Ontario? Anyway, that is, and her and Bill do this out of a commitment, and a commitment to world missions. And as mobilizers, what they do really is go to the classes, and in this world where it's so, there's so much else calling for our attention and our commitments, she just reminds us, like she's going to do this morning, of where our calling is. And so I would like to pray for you and with you.
Thank you.
Dear God, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Pentecost Sunday, just one day in the church calendar year where we're reminded that you did send your Holy Spirit and that you call us to live in that spirit. Lord, I pray especially for Ko this morning. This isn't something she usually does in this way. And so I pray that the way she has studied your word over the past weeks and the way she is open to your word as she opens the Gospels for us, I pray that we may have attentive ears, and that your spirit may move through her into us and out of the doors of this church this morning. In your name I pray, amen.
Thank you. I said to Jenny, just don't put me up there, please. Yeah, we go way back, actually, since the Sebring crew grew up in Duncan, and I taught a number of their siblings. So, let's pray. Father God, Son Jesus Christ, and Holy Spirit, today as we open your word, we pray that you would still our thoughts and our hearts, that you would fill this place until all who are here know the love of God in Jesus Christ. Amen. I would like to read two passages. So if you have your Bibles with you or in the pews, I gather there's some in the pews. I would first like to turn to the Gospel of John. This is a passage that really struck me as I was thinking and reading about Pentecost. So John chapter 20, starting at verse 19 and going to verse 23. John 20, 19 to 23. And this is after the resurrection, and so it's that time in between. And it says here, Jesus appears to his disciples on the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together with the doors locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side, and the disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone his sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." And that last verse is just a whole other sermon. So receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them. So that's the first passage I want to focus on. And of course, it being Pentecost, we are going to the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. You sort of wonder who all together is. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galilean? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them. "They've had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, the simple fishermen. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Thus the reading of God's word. Two very different recordings of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The first one, a very quiet, private, intimate gathering of Jesus with his disciples and possibly a few more. And Jesus breathed. This was the second time Jesus was gathering with his disciples to tell them he was leaving. Now, for us who've read the story many, many times of the life of Christ, and who believe in his death, resurrection, and coming again, the stories perhaps may seem somewhat, we're used to them. The disciples, on the other hand, had just gone through the crucifixion, where they stood at the cross and wondered what on earth was happening. And then the joy of the resurrection. So first he left and died on the cross, and then he came back. and there was this tremendous joy. And then he sits them down and basically says, I am leaving you again. This has to have been a time of confusion and sorrow and even a sense of abandonment, possibly. And yet they had the beginning of a growing sense of who Jesus was and why he came. The second reading, let me just go back for a minute. Before he was going to leave, he did affirm to them that he was leaving them with someone. And Jesus breathed on them and gave them the Holy Spirit. And nothing was ever the same. Not in their lives, not in history, not in our church today. Notice that when he breathed on them, there's a few things that also happened. He said, peace be with you. There's this beautiful connection of the Holy Spirit with a sense of peace. And missions was part of all of that. So peace goes with the Holy Spirit, and so does missions. But then later comes this amazing pouring out of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. The ascension has come and gone. The promise of his return is alive and well. But then, as the disciples wait, comes this amazing Spirit, the fullness, an overwhelming pouring out of the Holy Spirit, miraculous signs, winds, fire, all of it. Just stunning display of God's power in the Holy Spirit. And things begin to come together. And Peter gets up and preaches this amazing sermon. He puts it all together. And without question, Jesus is the Son of God. Forgiveness incarnate. The one who calls us to be his witnesses. Frankly, I would have loved to have been there. To me, that whole day must have been an amazing sense of God's presence. And as said earlier, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the church was born. And its mandate made very, very clear. As the Father has sent me, so send I you. Now, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, I don't know about this church, but I haven't often heard a sermon about the Holy Spirit. We focus on Pentecost at Pentecost. There's lots of sermons about God the Father and creation, as the Heidelberg Catechism says, God the Son and our redemption. We don't focus too much on the Holy Spirit. And in preparation for this, I read a book called The Forgotten God. And it focuses on the Holy Spirit. How do you begin to even understand the Holy Spirit or describe him? It's almost like an elusive thing for us to get our handle on the Holy Spirit. Words like incomprehensible, incomparable, those kind of words, we focus on the Holy Spirit. But it's only by the power of the Holy Spirit that we are sent, that we do missions. And sometimes we wonder, perhaps, did all those miraculous signs, all those amazing events, were they only for the early church? Did they all disappear after a while? once the Church of Jesus Christ was established? Do we even expect the Holy Spirit to do amazing things? So we're going to have a quick look at who he is and who I discovered him to be. I hadn't thought much about it before this. Some. If we focused first of all on Pentecost, we miss some of the beauty of the presence of the Holy Spirit. Throughout the Old Testament, the Spirit is alive and well. And I love the opening chapter of Genesis. I do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the water. Now, if you picture that a little bit, you know, hovering, it's going in and out and lightly placing itself on the surface of the water. In this empty, dark, lonely place at the beginning of creation, the Spirit of God was there, hovering. And then Genesis 2, the Lord formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. He breathed. The Spirit of God breathed. Jesus breathed. The Spirit of God in Genesis brought life and fullness of life. So the Holy Spirit is intimately involved with creation. The Holy Spirit is God, and we believe that, and we profess that